This is Scott Craig, Public Policy Advisor for KLMP. Yesterday and today and tomorrow, Christmas Eve, we're on a little journey on the Christmas story following Jesus. First, yesterday, we went to Bethlehem where he was born. Today, we're going to talk about why he went to Egypt. Tomorrow, we'll talk about why he had to go to Nazareth. We're doing this because these three locations are all part of the Christmas story. It was in the middle of the night that Joseph was sleeping when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Well, King Herod feared anyone who threatened his throne. He even killed one of his wives and many of his sons to protect his throne. So it's no surprise that King Herod was not happy when these wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the one who had been born king of the Jews. But why would God tell Joseph to take his family to Egypt of all places? Egypt was known as the land of bondage to Israel, and it had a history of being particularly cruel to Israel's babies. So let's consider the history of Egypt in the biblical story. We know that when God began to form a people for himself, he began with a man named Abraham. God promised Abraham that his descendants would be great in number and great in their importance to the plan of God to save the world. And as a result, Abraham's name would be famous. And to this day, no man has been so widely and permanently honored as Abraham. Jews, Christians, and Muslims call him Father Abraham, the spiritual father of their faith. We know that at one point in his life, he traveled to Egypt, and while he was there, he picked up a very young girl as a handmaid to his wife, Sarah. Well, when Sarah could not get pregnant, she did what was acceptable back in that day, and he offered her husband, her handmaid, to bear children in her place. So Abraham and Hagar, they have a child, Ishmael. Well, as we know the story, at 17 years old, Ishmael was a teenager with an evil streak who mocked 3-year-old Isaac mercilessly. Isaac was the actual child of the promise, the one that Abraham and Sarah ultimately conceived. Well, Sarah recognized the difference between the child of God's promise and the child of their own method, and so she demanded that Abraham drive Hagar and Ishmael out. Along the way, we find out that God who makes a promise keeps a promise. And he says that in a very similar way, the promise that was made to Abraham about Isaac is going to be made to Ishmael. God would also make Ishmael a nation. And so Ishmael, I want you to consider, is already half Egyptian. His mother goes and finds him a wife, an Egyptian wife. And so he now has 12 sons with his wife, and his sons are 3-quarter Egyptian, 1-quarter Jewish. And they became the founders of many Arab tribes called Ishmaelites, who spread all over the wide desert spaces of northern Arabia from the Red Sea to the Euphrates. Meanwhile, Isaac grows up. He gets married. He has twin sons, Esau and Jacob. God chooses one of those sons, through which he's going to build his nation, and he chooses Jacob. Out of spite, Esau marries one of Uncle Ishmael's daughters. Esau's descendants come to be called the Edomites, and I want to remind you that King Herod, who was after Jesus, was an Edomite. He was one of Esau's descendants. Well, Jacob grows up to have 12 sons, as did Uncle Ishmael, and the second to the last of Jacob's sons was Joseph. He was Jacob's favorite son. Well, if you know the story, his brothers don't like it. And at one point, they capture him, they put him in a pit, they sell him to Ishmaelites, a traveling band of Ishmaelites, his cousins. So these cousins, they don't object to buying one of their uncle's grandkids for a slave, and they didn't mind selling him either. Once in Egypt, they sold him as a slave to one of Pharaoh's officials, a man named Potiphar. Now remember, the first generation of Ishmaelites were already 3-quarter Egyptian, and they identified with their Egyptian roots more than their Hebrew roots. And so half of Abraham's descendants are branching out into Egypt. With that in mind, I want you to consider now that Joseph, the husband of Mary, was not the first Joseph that was driven from Canaan to Egypt for shelter from the anger of his brothers. Joseph, son of Jacob, was brought into Egypt as a slave. But as we know, he was later released from prison to become the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, only second to Pharaoh. And because of it, he was in a position to grant entrance of his 11 brothers and his father into Egypt to survive the famine. His cousins, the Ishmaelites, didn't need Joseph's help getting into Egypt because they were already there. Generations later, those 12 brothers had become 12 large tribes in Egypt. And another Pharaoh comes into power who felt threatened by those large number of Hebrews, and so he enslaves them, but they multiplied all the more. 4 centuries after those 12 sons of Jacob entered Egypt, another Pharaoh rises to power, and in an attempt to stop that population explosion of the Hebrews, just like Herod, he ordered the death of every male child born to the Hebrews. Only one baby boy survived, Moses, and ironically, he was raised right under Pharaoh's nose. And once again, there is safety in Egypt for the one who had to survive. Now, when Moses was 40 years old, he fled Egypt because Pharaoh wanted him dead. He went to Canaan. Later, he returned to save his people. Jesus fled Canaan because Herod wanted him dead. He went into Egypt, but he would return to Canaan to save his people. And I want you to think about the timing and the generosity of the wise men. They were God's provision to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, who had no time to gather their belongings, but they were given a very significant amount of gold the night they had to leave the country. Does that sound familiar? On the very day the Israelites fled Egypt, God had told them that there wasn't enough time to even let their bread rise. And as they were leaving, the Egyptians, whose sons had all been killed the night before, were putting gold and gifts of all kinds into the hands of God's people. And the Egyptians wanted the Jews to leave and were happy to finance their departure. But still, why Egypt? Why not another nearby country? Well, you got to consider that the Israelites weren't the only descendants of Abraham that God wanted to deliver from Egypt. Abraham had Egyptian descendants that needed to be led out of their Egypt. And so God's solution was to deliver Egypt from Egypt. How does he do it? By giving Egypt another opportunity to protect his son instead of destroying him. So the land of bondage becomes the land of freedom for Jesus. The country of Egypt is oblivious that it's giving refuge to Jesus and earning favor with God. But it doesn't matter if they know. It matters if God knows. Egypt needed Jesus more than Jesus needed Egypt. And one day God said through the prophet Isaiah that he'd call Egypt his people. He said that he would send them a Savior. Now remember, it is through Isaac's line that the Savior would come. That is why Jesus came through Isaac's line, not Ishmael's line. And God also said to that child of the promise, Isaac, that his descendants would dwell in the land of Canaan. Well, that is where Jerusalem was. In that land, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was born. At the same time, God who makes a promise keeps a promise. He had told Ishmael he would make him a great nation. Now, would God somehow extend that same promise of salvation and a Messiah to Ishmael? Yes, salvation would be offered to Ishmael's descendants, but not through Ishmael's descendants. And that is also why the Messiah, Jesus, was born in the land of Canaan, through the line of Isaac. And he takes a trip to Egypt, and so symbolically, the Messiah does come to Egypt, and he fulfills what the prophet Isaiah foretold, that God would send them a Savior. And so the Messiah had to go to Egypt, to the land of Ishmael's descendants, who are also Abraham's descendants. Tomorrow on Christmas Eve, we'll finish our little journey, and we'll talk about why Jesus had to go to Nazareth from Egypt. It's very significant. For KLMP, this is Scott Craig, Public Policy Advisor.